The Columbia Workshop presents Love in 32 Bars.
Being a program about popular music, music that sounds like this. In those 8 bars of American jazz lies a story. They represent every note of popular music you've ever heard in your life. Every note that has been played in dance halls, on the radio, on stage, and in the motion pictures. There isn't one single person listening to me now who doesn't instantly recognize this idiom as being the most popular means of musical expression and relaxation ever known to mankind. In a few moments, we'll show you why. But first, I've got 2 questions to ask. Pardon me, sir, but would you mind telling us if you like popular music?
Why, sure, I think it's swell. Couldn't get along without it.
And how about you, mister? Do you share the same opinion?
I most certainly do not. I wouldn't listen to the stuff for 5 minutes.
You see, we've only been here for a few seconds, and already there are grounds for an argument. One gentleman likes popular music, and the other one doesn't. You wonder what this is all about? Mr. Announcer, if you please.
The Columbia Workshop presents a new play for radio, Love in 32 Bars, written and directed by Perry Lafferty, showing in dramatic form what popular music is as we know it today, and why it's the favorite emotional expression of countless Americans.
Thank you. Now we can get down to business. Tonight I brought along with me several people who will concern themselves with demonstrating American jazz music to you. In addition, we have a 20-piece orchestra in the studio to draw the necessary musical pictures. But first off, bear in mind that I'm not saying whether I like jazz music or not. That isn't my job. I'm here to show you why you like it, or maybe why you don't like it. So let's start from the beginning. That sound? That's the very backbone of popular music. Technically, your music teacher might call it
a regular rhythmic pattern divisible into groups of 2, 3, or 4 beats.
That's fairly expensive language, I'll admit, so let's forget it. It probably reminds you of some jungle savage you saw in a movie last week, relaying to his fellow tribesmen the fact that some white men were coming up the river. But let's take this insistent beating and give it a little character by adding a stress or an accent to one particular beat, like this. You see? Now we have the basic pattern found in most jazz music. A strong first or downbeat, followed by 3 of lesser intensity. Thank you, Mr. Drummer. That's all we need for the present. Now let's use the human voice for another example. If this gentleman here will just sing something good and vague, please.
I'll try.
Thank you. That is melody in its most primitive form, the forerunner of melody as we know it today. Now, by putting the two together, we combine simple melody with simple rhythm like this. There you have the simplest form of music, a combination of the 2 important musical elements, melody and rhythm. Harmony, the 3rd element, was added later.
I beg your pardon.
Yes?
You seem to know a lot about music.
Why, thank you. Is there something you'd like to know?
Yes, there is. I'd like to find out which came first, the rhythm or the melody.
Well, why... Say, who are you?
I'm the conductor of the orchestra here in the studio.
Oh, I see. And you want to know which came first, the rhythm or the melody?
That's right.
Well, that's puzzled a lot of people are supposed to know. Some say rhythm first appeared, and others claim that the human voice or melody was the beginning.
A musical variation of the chicken or the egg argument, huh?
Exactly.
Well, excuse me, I'll get back to the orchestra.
Well, if we're going to discuss popular music, I guess we'll need a song. Is there a composer in the house?
Yeah, I'm a composer.
Isn't radio wonderful?
What could I do for you?
We're doing a program about jazz music. I wonder if you'd mind writing a song for us now so that we could demonstrate exactly what this music is.
You want one right now?
Why, yes. I was under the impression that it didn't take very long to write a popular tune.
Well, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. I've written some in 15 minutes when I had a hot idea, but you're putting me under awful pressure now.
Well, we just got to have a song. Won't you try? Here's a piano.
Well, all right. Let's see now.
I don't like to rush you, but time's valuable on the radio, you know.
Wait a minute. I think I've got a motif.
A what?
A motif. An idea for the opening of a song. Listen. How do you like that?
That sounds pretty good. Play it again.
You
reminiscent of a cantata for solo voice by Giacomo Carissimi written in the 17th century.
Hey, who's this guy?
I am a musicologist.
You're a which?
He's a musicologist, you know, a musical scholar, one who makes the historical study of music his life's work.
Huh. What'd you say my tune sounded like?
Like Giacomo Carissimi's cantata for solo voice.
Never heard of him. Did he ever have anything on the hit parade?
No, certainly not. The gentleman said Carissimi lived in the 17th century.
Born in 1604, died in 1674.
Ah, nuts. What'd he do you should remember him so well?
He was a famous composer of oratorios and cantatas. A contemporary of the first great operatic composer, Monteverdi. He was greatly admired in his day. The beginning of your melody is identical to the opening strains of his cantata.
Well, Femme
ton regne est morte.
So what?
That's plagiarism.
That's who?
He means that you've stolen from the music of another man.
He probably didn't know what to do with the tune anyway.
On the contrary, Carissimi did a great deal with it. The cantata is very lovely. Would you mind if I sang and played the first two bars?
Oh, no, no. Go right ahead.
Femme ton regne est morte.
Do all musicologists sing that bad?
Never mind. Now, composer, suppose you play the opening measures of your song. Yes, the two do sound something alike.
Exactly alike. Except that they happen to be in different keys.
I still like my number, even if what's-his-name did have one like it. Following's no sin. So far, nobody's heard from Tchaikovsky, and the boys have used plenty of his material.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, there's nothing more that I can say. Good night.
I think you've hurt his feelings.
Well, he didn't have any call to come up here accusing me of stealing his stuff.
We don't mind the plagiarism, so why don't you go ahead and finish the song? I think the opening is all right for our use.
Okay, okay. Just don't bother me for a minute. I got an idea last week that I think I can use here. I got the motif. The best thing to do is make a sequence out of it. Now, let's see. Sure, sure, that works all right. Use a regular first and second ending. Now for the release. Maybe I'll modulate it. No, that's too ordinary. That's it. To A minor. Now for a new pattern. Yeah, that ought to work. But I've got to get back to the key of G. Let's see. E7, A7, D7, and put this melody over it. Yeah. Now see how the release and the last eight bars sound.
Have you completed your song?
Yep, it's all finished. Fastest work I ever did.
Nothing more you want to do to it?
Nope. As far as I'm concerned, it's all done except for the lyrics. Say, if you want those now, I got
no,
a friend who's...
No, thank you. We'll have the lyrics written a little later. Could you have the orchestra play the opening of your song now?
I don't know. I'll ask the conductor. Come here a minute.
Yeah? What do you want?
Can you play what I just wrote? I got no orchestration, but the boys ought to be able to fake it.
Say, if you don't mind, you'd better explain what you mean by fake it.
No, that's just improvising around a given theme and harmony.
Can your musicians do that?
Sure. They've been sitting here while this gent wrote the tune. They'd better do it. Come on, boys, let's hear the opening.
Not bad at all.
Thank you again. That's just what I wanted. I'll call you later if I need you.
Okay. I'll just go over here and write the tune now.
You see how simple it is? In a few minutes, we have a new song. A song that each and every one of you listeners have never heard before, unless you happen to be a musicologist, and probably not even then. A few simple notes with a steady rhythm to buoy them up, some pleasant chords, and a jazz song is born. Can you whistle the opening of the song yet? I can. Listen. Well, that's not very good musically, maybe. But you see what I mean. Before we leave the air tonight, you'll know that song as well as you know your own name. Yet you'll probably never hear it again after this broadcast. Because jazz is written so easily and learned so rapidly, it's music's most volatile idiom. It goes out of the head as quickly as it comes in. Now think a moment. How many jazz songs can you remember? 1? 100? 500? How many more will be written in the next 10 years?
I love
no one can say. Yet jazz is your very favorite music.
I love the moon in June. I love to croon under the June moon. Oh, no, no. Soon I'll croon of June under an amber moon. Ah, that's it. That's nice, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It all depends. What is it?
Oh, that's a sensational new idea I've got for a lyric. Listen and get this picture. I'm all alone on a summer night with my gal. There's a breeze in the trees and the lights are low. I turn to her and I sing, soon I'll croon of June under an amber moon. Soon you'll know how much, well, that's the general idea. It's terrific, isn't it?
I'd rather not venture an opinion until I heard it with a melody. Mm. Oh, by the way, are you busy for the next few minutes?
Well, not especially. Why?
Another gentleman just finished writing a melody for this program, and we need lyrics for it. Would you care to write some?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of particular who I team up with. Is it a good tune?
Why, yes, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have the orchestra play the opening strains.
But
if you please, gentlemen. There, do you like it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's swell. Yeah, I got just the title for it. Sometime, that's what we'll call it. We'll call it Sometime. That goes nice with the first two notes. Now listen. Sometime, see?
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while I'm telling our audience some more about popular music, suppose you go over there and work out the lyrics.
All right, I have it for you in a couple of minutes.
Oh, Page, boy.
Yes, sir?
Run down to the artist bureau and see if Freddie Gibson is available. Tell him I wanted to sing a song on this show.
Yes, sir.
And tell them I need her right away.
Yes, sir.
Soon we'll have a completed song and Freddie Gibson to sing it for you. Now, it's only fair to tell you why this song will appeal to you. Yes, chances are that you'll like it a lot and for a number of reasons. First of all, it's brand new. And most people nowadays like much of the new music they hear. In the second place, our tune has a simplicity of melody. Perhaps already you're humming the opening strains. Then you'll find a constancy of rhythm, a rhythm that'll remain the same throughout the entire chorus. Also, there'll be a neutrality of mode, which means that our piece will never stay in the major or minor for any length of time. And last of all, and most important, it'll offer a free spirit of improvisation to its performers. It'll lend itself to variations by those who'll sing and play it on this program. You know, jazz is an international music. It's the music that we Americans are known by from Singapore to Scotland and from Cape Horn to the Suez Canal.
Say, you know, you're not a bad poet yourself.
Thanks. Say, have you finished the lyric for our tune?
Oh, yeah, it's right here. Listen. Sometime they'll come my way. The someone I'll live for night and day. Sometime I'll take a chance and pray that I'll find my one romance.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I'll know by her smile. I'll know by each little sign. Then I'll never rest until I've made her mine.
Mm.
Mm. Sometime I'll find her there. And someday she'll know how much I care.
Is that all?
Well, sure.
I suppose it'll sound better when you put it with a melody.
Well, that's a good point. You see, jazz lyrics are never written as poetry in the real sense. They almost never sound very well by themselves. They're just one part of the song as a whole, you see?
I see. Mm-hmm. Now, look, tell me something else. Why is it that most of the songs we hear today are about love?
Oh, well, that's because most people in the world are more concerned with love than with anything else. You make eyes at the gal in the next baby carriage when you're young. In high school, you get crushes. In college, you loan out your fraternity pin and... Well, when you get a little older, you probably get married. You know, nobody escapes it. Businessmen, flagpole sitters, stenographers, movie stars. Almost everybody falls in love at least once. How about you?
Yeah. I have too. Well, I can remember some wonderful... but I think we better stick to the subject under consideration. You say many songs are about love because it's the important thing in most minds.
Mm.
How do you account for the songs about children, pet animals, and the novelty tunes?
Well, those are the exceptions that prove the rule. Everybody loves children, so naturally the kids come in for a lot of glory musically. Same thing with the pet animals. And as for novelties, well, who doesn't like something that's just a little different?
Here's Freddie Gibson.
Did you want me on this program? The Otisburg called and told me to come right over.
Well, yes, Miss Gibson. You see, we have... That is, several gentlemen have written a jazz song as a demonstration sample on this broadcast about popular music. Would you be good enough to look it over and sing it for us a little later?
Well, I'd be glad to. Do you have a lead sheet?
Oh, yes, right here, Miss Gibson. It's a regular ballad. Just take a meeting sample.
So now we have the music, the lyrics, an orchestra, and the singer. Here, then, is a complete unit of American popular music soon to be sent out into the night. A new song, typical of hundreds and hundreds of brief musical expressions that America has taken to its heart. Are you ready, Miss Gibson?
All ready, anytime you are.
Then please sing us our song, Sometime.
Night and day. Sometime I'll take a chance and pray that I'll find my one romance. I'll know by his smile, I'll know by each little sign that I have made him mine. Sometime I'll find him there, and someday he'll know how much I care. Someone I'll live for. Sometime I'll take a chance and find my one romance. I'll know by his smile, I'll know by each little sign that I'll never rest until I have made him mine. Sometimes I'll find him there, and someday he'll know how much I.
Whether you, solitary listener, like it or not, at least you've heard a song composed and have had the somewhat rare distinction of being present at its first performance. You wouldn't think that this little 32-bar musical expression about love could stand for much of anything, would you? Well, it does. Just now, as you listen to its strains twine in and out behind my voice, a story is unfolding. A story of how jazz music influences American life. Of how the American way of living is built around melodies comparable to this one. For jazz is America's music of today. It lightens our emotions, makes us sing and dance and dream. It fills our radio programs, our motion pictures, stage shows, nightclubs, and our homes. Through its very existence, thousands of jobs have been created in 100 different places. Composers, lyricists, arrangers, copyists, orchestra leaders, publishers, music printeries, agents, singers, dancers, yes, and even the common piano player. All these and many more depend upon jazz music to bring them a living. Well, now, what do you think about popular music? And why do you feel as you do? Most of you must love it a lot, or it wouldn't be so much in evidence. But I wonder exactly what your emotions are when you listen to a popular tune. How about you, mister, sitting in your gas station in Richmond, Indiana?
Me?
Yes, you. Speak right up. What do you think of jazz?
Well, oh gosh, I think it's swell.
Well, what kind of tunes do you like best?
I like the snappy ones. Kind of pep you up when you hear them. Make darn good whistling, too.
That's fine. And now, you young lady in Charlotte, North Carolina, what's your favorite type?
Oh, I like the love songs. They're so romantic. I could listen to them all night.
And you, sir, you've been here in the studio since the program started. What do you think?
I am the man who doesn't like jazz.
Well, we're broad-minded. What do you find wrong with it?
I don't like the music because I think it's stupid. For one thing, it has a simple 32-bar chorus, and it almost never departs from this same mold. I find the rhythm tiresome. And as for the melodies, a child could write one.
Could you write a popular tune?
Well, I've never tried, but I suppose I could. But that isn't my point. Jazz lacks the subtleties of fine music. It hasn't the form of Beethoven's masterpieces. None of the workmanship that one finds in a Bach fugue or a Mozart sonata. None of the imagination evidenced in the music of Debussy and Richard Strauss. I can't find anything in its favor.
Now, I think you're missing the point. Everything you've mentioned is probably true from a strict musical point of view. But one must never treat popular music in the strict sense because it's the music of the people.
Oh, there's probably something in what you say. I merely gave you my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. Good night to you.
I'm afraid we didn't do very well with him. But then he's the representative of the minority, a very necessary group in the consideration of any topic. But to continue... Another point in popular music's favor is its flexibility. This means simply that a jazz melody may be treated equally well in a number of different ways. That's why Glenn Miller, with his style, can play the same tune that Kay Kaiser plays in an entirely different style. But popular music goes even farther than this. Say we want a waltz. We can take our little tune and turn it into one. That's old Vienna music if I ever heard it, and it would make a good Roomba. If you happen to like your music slow, we can play it smooth. If you like it fast, we can do it that way, too. There, you see, jazz is flexible. It has 100 dresses, and it appeals to someone in every new guise it appears in. Most important of all, popular music acts as a setting for American life. Let me show you what I mean. Imagine a boy and a girl seated in a parked automobile listening on their car radio to our tune.
Gee, it's a swell night, honey.
Uh-huh.
Swell orchestra, huh?
Sure is.
It's a pretty song, too. I guess I'll always think of you every time I hear it.
Will you, Joe? Gee.
Yeah, kind of captures the mood, you know. Just you and me.
That's the way I feel, too, Joe.
Is that the way you feel, too, you sweethearts all over the country, hearing our song for the first time? If you ever hear it again someday, will you remember anything special? We could go on and on about the setting popular music furnishes American life. How about you, there in the airport lunchroom, waiting for your plane to leave? What setting did our tune make for your thoughts? And you, lady, pacing the floor of your hotel room in Springfield, Massachusetts. Yes, and even you, the radio announcer in Columbia Station in Waterbury, Connecticut. Did our song act as a backdrop for any mixed emotions? Did it remind you of something? Will it remind you of something? Will you remember it for any particular reason if you should hear it 5 years from now?
Pardon me a second.
Oh, I said then, Mr. Composer, what is it?
Listen, a guy just came in the studio who wants to buy our song.
Buy it?
Yeah. He heard it on the air and rushed right up here. Will you talk to him?
Why, yes. Good evening, sir. What can I...
What do you want for the tune? It's great. And boy, oh boy, what a plug. Coast to coast. What a send-off. It's terrific. What do you want for it? What, $100 in the regular deal on royalties?
The song isn't for sale.
Why, I can make it the biggest thing in a... What? $200.
I'm sorry, but...
$500.
It's absolutely impossible to sell the song because...
All right, I lose my shirt, but $750 and not a dime more.
I'd like to oblige, but our song Sometime was written for this program merely as an example. It wouldn't be fair to the other songwriters and publishers to sell it to you. By acquiring it, you'd have the advantage of advanced publicity over many stations of the Columbia Network who are carrying this program.
Well, yeah, that's the idea.
Look, I'm sorry, but after tonight, the song will be buried deep in the files of Columbia's music library, never to be brought forth again.
Well, okay, but think it over. If you change your mind, I'll be glad to talk to you.
Gee, I kind of hoped you might sell it. We could have had a hit, you know.
Yes, Mr. Composer, you might well have had a hit. But it's not the purpose of this broadcast to sell a song. We're here to show where jazz came from and how it affects the people in America today.
No, it's not fair. It's too much for any one man to bear.
Well, what's the trouble with you?
I can't stand it pounding in my head, echoing through my whole body. It's too much. I tell you, it's too much.
And what do you find wrong with us?
Look, I'm a guy that minds his own business. I do my little job of waxing the floor in the studio every Sunday night. I'm telling you, I've been sitting back there since this program started listening to that song, and I can't stand it. The tune is going round and round in my head. I tell you, it's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazy.
Yes, jazz does that to people, too. I guess all of us have been haunted by some melody until we were tempted to turn a gun either on the composer or on ourselves. But then don't hold that against popular music. If you've ever eaten too much ice cream, you'll know what I mean.
Well, I gotta leave now, but I want to thank you for playing my song on your program.
Thanks to you, Mr. Composer, and to your collaborator for your contribution to our broadcast on popular American music.
I wonder if you could have the orchestra play the tune before I go. We have got time, haven't we? You know, make it sort of a swan song.
Well, we'd be glad to. Gentlemen, please play our song Sometime. There you are.
Thanks. So long. See you again, I hope.
I hope so, too, Mr. Composer. But I doubt it. The chances are pretty slim that we'll ever need another song written in the middle of a radio broadcast. But the chances are good that you and your colleagues will write many more and better songs in the future. For it's up to you, boys, to keep America singing and dancing and dreaming. It's up to you to continue writing the settings for our everyday lives, painting the musical backdrops with your tales of love and 32-bar choruses. And now, listener, you see a bit of what jazz is and how it works. So sometime when you're listening to a popular tune, sit back and relax, and be thankful that the Americans who have gone before you have chosen this as their musical design for living. So whether you like jazz music or not, don't ever laugh at it. Don't even smile at it. Because in these tunes lies a power that could shake the stars out of their sockets. In these tunes lies the song of a nation, a great nation. And it's because of little things like songs that it can go right on doing its job.
Just heard the Columbia Workshop production of Love in 32 Bars. The principal narrator was Warren Sweeney. Lynn Murray conducted the orchestra. Orchestrations were by Van Cleve, and Freda Gibson was the featured vocalist. The cast included John Griggs as the conductor, Charles Webster as the musicologist, Frank Lovejoy as the lyricist, Reynolds Evans as the man who didn't like jazz music, Ted Osborne as the composer, Louis Sorin as the publisher, and Peggy Zenke and Cliff Carpenter. The entire production and music was written and directed by Perry Lafferty. Next week at this time, the workshop will present a play by Basil Heater, Cassidy and the Devil. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.